Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, tjmartinell.com, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. The date is June 3rd, 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve. I believe this is also the anniversary of the Battle of Midway. I was just watching that film that came out in 2019. You should go watch it if you have not watched it. There's problems with the film. As far as structuring, I would have done it a little bit differently. Would have made a few changes. You know, and the more I watch it, the more I can kind of see that. It's still a good film. It's kind of an old-fashioned Hollywood film. That happened to get funding from the Chinese because Hollywood... It was so pro-American. It was so pro-American that foreign Hollywood didn't want to fund it, so they had to go to the Chinese. And of course, it's about the Battle of Midway, which was against the Japanese, and Chinese were not too fond of the Japanese at that moment in history. But that has nothing to do with this podcast episode. This is the extremely online episode. And you should all feel very fortunate that it is pouring down rain outside and 55 degrees instead of a crisp 70 degrees that it was the other day when I was out riding my motorcycle after working in the basement, because I did a whole podcast on it and didn't end up releasing it, talking about what I'm going to do in the basement, because it's like I went to the underwriter's laboratory of podcasting and I consulted with him, I said, what do you think of this product? And he said, we would not endorse it. We would not certify this podcast. It is not certifiable. So it wasn't released. That's what almost every podcaster needs, is a underwriter's laboratory of podcasting, where you send the podcast to the person, they listen to it, and they give their thumbs up or thumbs down. Depending on what you're trying to accomplish, are you trying to teach something? Are you trying to help educate people? Are you trying to make them laugh? Are you trying to be funny? You think I'm funny? Yeah? You think I'm here to amuse you? So we didn't release the podcast. But the reason I'm doing this podcast right now, rather than working in my basement, is because it is so cold that the primer that I put on the walls has not dried, despite putting it on yesterday morning around this time. Because reality is, I'm right now, it's going to change probably in the next couple weeks, but right now, and this has been for a while, I've been working a job where I don't work a lot of hours, but if I got paid by the hour, it'd be quite a bit of money. So it pays my bills and all that kind of stuff, but I have a lot of downtime. So I went and replaced, I think I did an episode on replacing the basement steps. And then I was thinking, okay, I don't really want to write fiction anymore for the time being. And I can only burn so much energy at the gym. So, and I think I'm going to be trying to get certified as a fitness trainer and see if I can do that as kind of a side gig. But anyways, I was like, okay, I got to figure out something or I'm going to go crazy. You know, I'm reading these books. I'm reading these Civil War books as well. This whole collection of books that I got from my grandpa that apparently he never read, that were very expensive. So I've been going through that. One of them was surprisingly good as far as readability. It wasn't written in like Shakespeare. But here's where I kind of had a revelation is... how do I put it? There's a bit of a disconnect in my life right now. And I kind of realized that when I was watching, there was a couple of things. One, when I was hanging out with my buddy Vince and I saw he was kind of living in a bachelor pad, and I come home to a 1930s house that is well furnished for a family. You know, I got all the solid maple furniture. I've got the sofa. I've got the cabinet for all the old dishware. It's everything on the top of the house says a family lives here. And meanwhile, it's just one guy. It's just me. And then, meanwhile, in the basement, there's 1,000 square feet of a... There's an underground garage. And it's literally... I had a guy come over who was doing some servicing on the natural gas appliances, and he thought... He was very impressed with the house, I gotta say. He was, it feels good to have another man come into your house and just be like, dude, this is so cool. Oh my gosh, where'd you get the, you know, and all the stuff that's on the walls. And, you know, my study has all this, I think one of them was also an former army guy. And he was looking at all the World War II stuff that I had displayed on my walls, like my grandpa's silk maps and all that kind of stuff. So meanwhile, yeah, and then we went down to the underground garage, and he's like, dude, this is the Batcave, because it's got a sliding door that, you know, go, and then you go up a ramp out to adventures. At some point, if I started making, had enough, if the Biden bucks and the inflation wasn't, and gas prices wasn't killing me, I'd be investing in a sliding garage door motor so that it could open automatically, because the ramp going down underneath the house is so steep. I really don't like doing that with my motorcycle. If I'm going to do that, I want it to be, you know, I just press a button and then the door opens as I go into the garage. You might be wondering, what does this have to do with the extremely online? This is a tangent. We are tangenting here. We are taking a pause. We are taking... It's like you're going up a mountain, you're hiking up a mountain, and you decide to take a side trail because you're going to go visit the cool waterfall on your way up. This is the cool waterfall that we're talking about. We will get to the extremely online stuff in a second. And then I was watching the movie Top Gun Maverick. I've now seen it twice. I think it might be one of my favorite. I'm sure there are people who can nitpick it, and to which I would say, you want to be a knob nibbler, be my guest. There's a scene at the beginning of the film where Maverick is in a old hangar. He's somewhere in the Mojave Desert. He's got his World War II plane that he's working on, and he has his motorcycle right next to his bed. You know, he lives in a very... He's living the lifestyle of a bachelor in his 50s. And a part of me actually looks at that and likes it and thinks, yeah, if I'm a bachelor at that point, I'm probably going... I was thinking, oh... At that point in my life, that's how I want to live. Like if I became a confirmed bachelor, that's what I'd be doing. Is I'd be living, I'd want to live in a place where my motorcycle can sit next to my bed, and I've got my tools, and I've got a couple cool projects going on, and I've got, you know, things that are aesthetically masculine around me, and that's kind of just how you live life. And then it dawned on me, well, that might be possible without having to move, because I got the basement that's not been finished. So I've been working on texturing the walls. I'm going to be painting it a deep space blue. And I'm looking at potential ways to seal the floor, because the walls are waterproofed, meaning they have the system designed so that they punch holes in the foundation so that water from the soil, excess water, will go down into the holes into a little... I guess, tunnel or piping that then flows all into a sump pump drainage thing, and then it pumps the water away from the house. So the walls are waterproof, but the floors, if it rains and snows way too much, it'll start to flood. So I got to deal with that. So I got to seal the floors. And then I was thinking of adding something, making it look really cool. I think the deep space blue is going to make, I want to make it look like, I want it to be a place that I could potentially move all my stuff down that I want and live down there. I'd have to install a toilet and a shower, which is a little complicated because then you got to pump the water up into the drainage pipes that are in the ceiling above. And those toilets are expensive, and those showers, you probably have to have some sort of a special sump pump of some kind. But my thought is, yeah, I could move down to the basement, and there's a natural gas stove down there so I can stay warm during the winter. And, you know, make sure just everything is a little bit up raised above the floor. So that way, if there is flooding, it's not, you know, the end of the world. And then I could just rent out the top of the house, and that person could pay my mortgage. I mean, if I cut my mortgage out of my, out of my budget, that would be a game changer. And I'm putting money, you know, putting save my savings into this these projects to get it done. But the thing is, I get my money back in terms of renting within a couple months. And then that way I'm fully using this house. I mean, this was what kind of was getting to me is I was thinking, you know, I have to maintain this whole house and it's just for me. But if I had it rented, then at least I'm getting some money out of it and the space is being fully used. And it works because the laundry room is separate from the rest of the house. So I could go still use it without going into the actual house. And then I could put a little tiny, like some sort of a kitchen down there of some kind. I mean, guys, this is the thing. It's a good thing and it's a bad thing. The good thing is I'm used to living and I can live under very austere conditions. A problem is that sometimes you, with that mindset, you end up settling for less than what you deserve. So I'd have to do some research on the kitchen and stove stuff. I'd have to probably, get a sink. So you'd have to do the bathroom. You'd have to do that. And then here's the other part of it is this is, if I decide to sell, now it's a 22, it would go from a 1200 square foot living space to a 2200 living space. And believe me when I say this basement is huge. I could put in a massive TV. There's a little section that would be perfect for having a mini bar. And I could also put in a pool table. And all this stuff is easy to put in there because of the underground garage. You don't have to bring it down the basement steps. You know, have low-hanging lights, have that cool stuff. So that's what I've been working on, but that's what I would be working on right now. Instead, I'm doing this podcast because it's raining outside and 55 degrees and the primer has not dried and may not dry for a couple more hours. So 10 years from now, I may be living in my basement with my, yeah, instead, what is it? There's gotta be some sort of meme where it's like, you know, the loser guy lives in his mother's basement. The other guy lives in his basement. But yeah, I mean, I'd have to show photos, but I mean, imagine a 1,000 square foot room with tons of space, deep space blue walls, and some sort of really cool floor, and then I get to put all the cool stuff down there that I have either upstairs or I have boxed away because I can't and I don't have a place to display. But it would be the upstairs of the house is very homey and family kind of aesthetics. I'd probably end up I'm not going to move a lot of the furniture, so it really have to appeal to, I'd say, older people. So it'd probably rent out to older people. You know, it's 3 bedrooms, 1 bath in the upstairs. One of the bedrooms I use is my war room. But I have a feeling that, I mean, my plan, unless something really fundamentally radical changed, I'm planning to live in the state long term, so I got to figure out how to batten down the hatch and actually survive what I think is coming. I think that the gas prices here are going to get worse. I think that inflation is going to get worse. I think the economy is going to have a lot of problems, and you know. But we also have a housing shortage, so I'm going to take advantage of that. And also, why not just spend my money on something that's going to give me equity so that I'm not losing the value of that dollar? I'd rather put the value of the dollars that I have saved up into my house, where it's guaranteed to actually get return of investment if I decide to sell, as opposed to putting it into the stock market and playing the stock market casino. All right, so we've done that tangent. That has been a 14-minute long tangent. I hope you enjoyed it. We are now going to go back onto the main trail as we hike up this mountain of discussing the extremely online. What prompted this specifically? I mean, I could give specifics, but I just don't want to, because it's not really about... there's been these two extremely online groups fighting each other that I've been watching. And some of you are probably one... I don't know my audience's demographics. I assume that a lot of them are in the know about these terms. But in case you don't, because I do have a few normal... a few of you I do know who in real life, and you are normal, and you don't follow this stuff, so you'd have no idea what's going on. But you're like, TJ, what does extremely online mean? Extremely online groups are groups that are, and you can probably hear the rain right now with the way it's pouring down. They're groups that spend most of their life on social media, and they don't really interact a whole lot with the real world, and their identity is based on these on online stuff. So they use online these terms that nobody uses in real life. You know, let's contrast. It's like the extremely online people spend most of their life, their interactions are online, as opposed to a regular person who doesn't have Twitter, really isn't on Facebook, doesn't use the internet, isn't really following what's going on. You know, they're more plugged into what's going on in the real in actual life. Hence the term extremely online. I mean, I know that's it was a shock. Extremely online groups are people who spend an extreme amount of time online. And what I'm basically saying is it is the equivalent for young men, it's the equivalent of a girl being on Tumblr all the time. It's absolutely destructive and toxic, and you should avoid it. You know, I remember listening to a podcast or an interview with some former journalist who was interviewing a girl who had pretended to be a boy for a couple years. She didn't even like bother transitioning. She just took a bunch of testosterone and said that she was a boy. And I remember he was asking her kind of like what led up to this moment, when like what was going on. And she said that she spent her entire life was on Tumblr. She was reading Tumblr stuff. She was just, you know, and it was feeding into her psychosis. It's the same thing with men and extremely online groups. And some of these groups, they have, there's places that they meet in private. There are places where they express themselves in public. So like they'll be on Discord, or they'll be on some private Facebook group or whatever it is. And they will essentially develop this sort of echo chamber where they see themselves as being normal and everyone else around them is weird. And their way of doing things is a way of doing it. And they really have difficulty relating to ordinary human beings. But here's why young men should avoid it, is it really warps your perception of reality. And it doesn't offer positive solutions to problems. I mean, here's the thing. If you're a young man and you're on an extremely online group, it's because you've got problems in your life and you are trying to find answers. There's nothing wrong with that. You're just not going to find them in an extremely online group. You will not find it. Because part of the defining features of an extremely online group is there's no, you never solve the problem. You never fix the issue, because that would conclude, it's kind of like a doctor who doesn't want you to get well, because then you'd stop seeing them and their purpose is now fulfilled. It also creates I've done podcasts on this where I talk about how the internet creates this false sense of emotional intimacy with people that you don't know. These people are anonymous. And if they're not anonymous, they're only showing you what they want you to see of themselves. So you don't know if it's real. Much of their... it's like taking investing advice from a guy who can't show his bona fides. He can't show his credentials. He can't demonstrate that he knows what he's talking about. But because you're young and dumb and impressionable, you're going to assume that they wouldn't just make this stuff up. And they're trying to create a narrative for the group. And it involves, I'm not going to say that they're cultish necessarily. Some of them, well, yes, they are cultish. I'll just say it. Sorry. I was like, well, maybe I should be nuanced. No, I'm just going to do a wide sweeping generalization because I'm in a bad mood because I'm not working on that basement. I'm actually in a good mood, but I'm also, it's early in the morning and I have not drunk all my coffee yet. They have very specific rigid narratives of just your of lifestyles, and also your loyalty is supposed to be to the group rather than what normal loyalty is, like people that you know in real life. I think the biggest thing that men, these why young men should avoid is, like I said, there's nothing productive going on. You know, I used to argue with people on Facebook and other places online all the time. And that was another issue. It's like you can argue with people. How is that making your life better? Like, how is that helping you figure out stuff? Because this is me imparting life lessons to young men, whoever may be listening, based on my own experiences. At least with arguing on social media, that aspect I can speak to from experience. It was a waste of time. I should have been looking up how to do home improvement projects. I should have been looking up stuff that's applicable in the real world, that if you know it, it saves you money, right? Knowing just arguing over whatever random topic people happen to be arguing about, like the future of the country or stuff that's just external and you have no control over. I for example, it's good to know about inflation because it affects you, but there's nothing you can do about it directly. Inflation's going to occur. You can have ways of mitigating it. You know, if somebody's like, I got inflation going on. You know, I'm losing the value of my dollars that I've saved up. What should I do? And the answer I would give is, well, I don't know your life circumstances. This is another thing that they do, is they have very prescribed solutions to your problem, regardless of what your problem is. And I think what happens is young men latch onto these extremely online group identities because they lack meaningful identity in the normal real world. And that's not their fault. It is their responsibility, though. An extremely online group is a poor substitute for a meaningful identity. You got to find something in the real world. And it may not be flashy, it may not be sexy, but it will give you a sense of meaning and purpose in your life. You know, that your 20s is, as a man, it's the time for you to make and take risks, but ones that, if they pan out, they get you ahead in life. Arguing online does not get you ahead in life. Having conversations about very niche discussions don't get you far. If I could go back in time in my DeLorean that goes 88 miles per hour with extra plutonium, so I'm not stuck in the past like McFly, and I could go back and impart wisdom to my younger self, I would say, don't focus too much on what's going on in the world around you in terms of, be concerned about your, frankly, just you need to be more selfish. And you need to stop worrying about stuff that you don't have control over. Because this is what happens with youth, is they're idealistic, they want to go change the world, as opposed to the world changing them. And the other problem is that you worry about fixing problems that are not your responsibility. So you're less concerned about whether it's good for you and more of, well, is it good for the collective, like these general abstract ideas. No, men should be out going on, I'd say, finding something that is going to help them become a better man. And part of that, I'd say, is spending as little time. If I could go back in time with a DeLorean, 88 miles per hour with extra plutonium, I would say spend as little time online as possible. And when you're reading about stuff and you're trying to do research, or you've got a thirst for knowledge, you got to ask yourself, what good is this knowledge? You know, pop culture references and movie references, they can seem like they're really not, they don't have much value. They certainly make it interesting if you're in the right crowd at the right party or something like that. But, you know, I'd say it's far more effective than learning the kind of stuff that young men are learning in extremely online groups. And like with Tumblr, with what Tumblr does to young women, it destroys their ability to have social interactions with the opposite sex. Because these people retreat into their little digital fiefdoms, their little digital enclaves, and they won't venture out of the group. We're protected and inside the space. We won't go out because it's too dangerous. Man, danger and risk has to be a part of your life in some way. You got to take risks. You got to do something that's dangerous. There's nothing dangerous. I mean, there is something dangerous in a sense, not a physical danger, but there is a danger of being in an extremely online group. You waste time. You waste your life. We've got back in that DeLorean. We're not making three trips. We're just doing one trip. But if I was making that trip back in time, you only live. This sounds cliche. But people don't think about it. You live your life once. You only have your 20s once. There are opportunities in your life you will only have once. And there is nothing to be gained from spending time with an extremely online group and fighting with other extremely online groups. You know, in my opinion, it's effeminate. It's people arguing over stuff that they have no control over because they've given up control over things that they can control. And I have a completely different idea of the type of, as far as people I associate with, my viewpoint has become more refined as I get older, as far as who I spend time with, who I consider to be a confidant or a friend. And it really comes down to a bunch of, I'd say, classical virtues of, are they loyal? Are they dependable? Are they consistent? Are they reliable? Do they keep their word? Right? If they fit all that other stuff, they can have totally different lifestyles, different ideologies and stuff. As I was telling a friend of mine a couple years ago, he goes, you know, I'd rather have a lefty who will help me drywall my house than a right winger who believes everything I do but can't make a commitment. I think in a lot of ways these ideologies, these beliefs are also aesthetic. They're not deeply felt. It's like people I know who claim to believe in a lot of progressive beliefs, but I don't think that they actually believe it because their lives don't reflect it. And some would say, well, that's because they're hypocrites. No, I'm talking about real progressives, a true Scotsman, would be doing things differently. I think that there are some people who just say that stuff because they don't give it much thought, and it really is like they're just saying it because that's what everybody else around them says. And they really don't see the need to connect it with who they actually are. And how many people that are like that? I'd say from the progressive leftist side, I don't know. I know from the right wing side. You know, you listen to people who talk about and espouse traditional values and conservatism. I'm a conservative. are you now? And then you watch as they, it's like, well, that's great. But if you're not, if you don't meet those classical virtues I just described, I really don't care. I think that young men need to develop the Rick Blaine mindset from Casablanca, where he says, you know, I'm not fighting for any cause anymore except myself. I'm the only cause I'm interested in. It sounds selfish and it sounds cynical, but in some ways, that's how you need to think. Because if you do care about stuff, if you have this sort of, what's the right word for it? This selflessness, you're going to be exploited. You're going to be exploited by these extremely online groups, or you can be exploited by, say, some organization that tugs at your heartstrings or manipulates your emotions. Because I did that podcast on how caring about something is interpreted as a weakness to exploit by other people. If you care about something, they will exploit you. That is a harsh life lesson that young men need to know. So saying that you're only, and you don't even have to say this, you don't say it to other people, you're very much focused on getting yourself ahead. And this doesn't mean you have to exploit other people. This is another common misconception people have. You don't have to exploit other people to get ahead. You don't have to manipulate them or engage in shady behavior. But what you do have to do is you need to be pragmatic and practical about what you're focusing on in your life. And once more, this is coming from hard-learned experience. This is not coming from somebody who had it figured out. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I figured it all out. In some ways, I'm figuring out a lot of stuff as I get older. And it's important for young men to unplug from these groups as soon as possible, because, you know, what happens when you wake up and to be my age and you have really nothing to show for it? I'm not saying I don't. No. I've got Stella. I got my motorcycle. I got a huge house. I've got a study with a little fireplace, electric fireplace. But it's, I mean, for what? I got a house in the Seattle metro quasi area. And I've got other accomplishments to my life. I think that's what I'm getting at, is that, like, what have you accomplished with your life? What skills have you learned? What meaningful knowledge have you acquired? And also, it shapes your mindset, and this is a thing that's also very important for men to know. Your mindset, it doesn't shape reality, but it does affect your how you navigate reality. You know, I go into the gym and my mindset is, this is my place and I'm going to accomplish what I'm there to accomplish. And there's some days when I'm not at the gym. There are some bad days at the gym. There's been a couple of days like that recently. But then there's days where you hit a PR and you just, the enthusiasm and the momentum builds up. This is what I liked a lot about the Top Gun Maverick film, is it had a momentum and high energy to it. I think that that's something also that just occurred to me that you really have to avoid with extremely online groups, is they create, I didn't really know this term until my buddy Vince pointed out, we were discussing these types of relationships that we'd observed, and they're called fused. So F-U-S-E-D, fused relationships. And one of the defining features of a fused relationship is where strong emotions are allowed, but not strong actions. So sitting there and arguing online with a bunch of random people that you don't know, or just dialoguing with me, like, you can express a lot of high emotions there. What you can't do is take meaningful action. And I think that there's a lot of fused relationships that we see in real life, because this is something that I've learned, is if I want something done, I just do it myself and I don't talk about it with anybody. because either everyone wants to have a, I mean, not everybody, but you know, like I said, I have figured out who is someone I can have as a confidant, where I can sit there and say, hey, here's my plan. And they're going to offer meaningful advice if I ask for it. You know, he's not going to sit there and argue with me for 2 hours about whether it's a good idea or not. Or tell me, well, dude, you should do it this way or do this. Instead, they're going to say, well, cool. Well, if you are, for example, let's say I'm working on the basement and I want to put deep space blue color for the walls. Instead of arguing over the color, they're going to say, well, this is what would complement that on the floor. Or, you know, that they acknowledge, they're not sitting there to like bog me down into indecisiveness. I mean, I think that you've probably had that before where you're trying to tell someone about something that you're working on or doing, and they will not allow the conversation to progress past the idea of you actually doing it. This is the way, arguing about how it should be done. I mean, that tends to be more of the perfectionist types, which I'm not a perfectionist at all. Perfectionists never, they either never get stuff done or they take years to do it. You know, with my basement stairs, I did that in probably several days. But was it perfect? No. A perfectionist would have taken 6 months. And I think that for young men, I think the biggest thing you have to do is stop looking for someone's... I know that a lot of you are looking for a mentor. You're looking for someone to help give you direction in life. And the just harsh truth is that you are going to have to find your own direction, because nobody's going to give it to you. You're not going to have... There's not going to be some wise old man who's going to show up. And for the most part, there's never going to be a wise old man. You're instead going to have, you'll find, are men who are looking to exploit, men who are looking to take advantage of you. You're going to have men who are, I just say, broken, and they're looking to bring someone into their broken world and make them feel comfortable with being broken together. You know, misery loves miserable company. And this is, in part, whether or not you find or attract the type of men that you, older men who might give you some direction, it's also got to be a mindset thing. You got to have a good mindset. You got to have a positive mindset. And anybody who's feeding poison or toxicity or negativity into you or undermining your confidence, you have to stay away from them. And it's not, this is not a negotiation. This is not a discussion. It's not an argument. It's not a, let's have a dialogue. It's, you remove yourself from that situation and then reassess. So if you're in a relationship, you know, if you happen to find yourself a girl mate, and she's doing that, then she's got to go. Like anybody, Quintus Curtius did a podcast on this, which if you haven't listened to it, you should go to his website, qcurtius.com. He talks about confidence. People who try to undermine your confidence in yourself, and you're going to find a lot of them, they are your enemy. Whether they know it or not, they are your enemy. Anyone who tries to undermine or question your confidence in your ability to accomplish something is your enemy. And I don't see how extremely online groups, they may not undermine your confidence, but they are not helping cultivate your confidence, because confidence, real genuine confidence, as opposed to arrogance, comes from life experience, right? I'm confident in the gym because I have 20 years of experience in the gym. I know the gym in and out. I know the dumbbells. I know the weights. I know the machines. I know their feel. I know that you can have two weights that weigh the same, but if they're different shapes, it's going to feel differently on the bench press or when you're doing squats or any other kind of workout. You want to use weights that are not only the same weight, but you want to use weights that are of the same shape. So I'm much more assertive and confident in the weight room than, say, when I'm on my motorcycle, because I've only been riding for a couple of years and I'm still getting the hang of it. I was riding yesterday and I was going on this country road, and there's quite a few, I'd say, narrow or blind turns. And I'm doing them, I'm taking it pretty cautiously, but there's a motorcyclist behind me who's clearly experienced. He knows what he's doing, and he was going, he clearly wanted to go around me. But over time, you work on something, you build up your confidence, and you're able to go out and do stuff. And also, if you have a healthy sense of confidence in yourself, you're going to be seen as an appealing protege, for lack of a better word, to somebody who's interested in imparting knowledge and using their experience to teach someone something. Now, is that going to happen? I'd say for most men, no. There is a total shortage of older men who are interested in being good mentors. This is just, it's just a fact. It's not science. It's just a fact. It is a fact. There is a complete shortage of older men who are willing to teach. They have tons of knowledge. I know these guys. They have tons of knowledge. I knew one guy who had an entire hangar full of classic cars and airplanes, and he knew all this stuff about mechanics, and he was always bewailing like the lack of, he was complaining about the lack of interest from young men. And I knew from personal knowledge of just his life that it was because he wasn't interested in mentoring young men who had a positive mindset. He was interested in finding broken men that he could project his own life failure. How do I put it? He wasn't interested in working with men who had a healthy sense of their self-confidence. He was looking for men who were weak-willed or who were vulnerable. Who had a broken spirit, because frankly, that's what he had too. And these are very formative years for a young man. So this is why you want that to be filled with good experiences, with things that allow you to become wiser, more knowledgeable, more educated about actual practical life skills. Because what ends up happening is the men in these extremely online groups, they become insular, they lose their social skills, they become timid, they become they end up living lives that I hear about, and I'm thinking, this is the saddest thing I've ever heard. The idea of a young man spending his prime years at a computer or on a laptop or on his cell phone, you know, not going out into the woods, not going hiking, not traveling places, not working on cool stuff. I mean, and they're spending their time on playing video games or all this other stuff. I get why some of them do that. I still find it sad. And I think what feeds into that is this sense of hopelessness that I've discussed before, where they feel like nothing, they have no control over anything. They feel like there's nothing they can do. And again, that's a mindset thing, and that's an environmental thing. Because if you're surrounded by people who think that you can do anything that you want and the opportunities are out there, go get it. They have that same energy as the Top Gun film. I promise you that young man's going to be out doing stuff. I'm not saying that this, if there's a man who's in an extremely online group right now and wants to get out, I'm not saying that the solutions to your problems are going to be easy. I'm not saying that the answers are going to be simple. I'm not saying that it's going to be difficult. It's going to be a hard road. You're going to have people potentially villainizing you because you're taking a strong action by saying, you know, I'm not going to be involved. I'm going to go out and do something productive. I get if people are concerned about, say, immigration, our borders, they're concerned about our culture, society. I get that. I'm concerned about that stuff too, and I comment on it. But I'm also doing other things in my life. I have my opinions, but it's just like it's like with the whole thing that's going on in public schools. I can get upset all I want, but here's two realities. I have no kids in the education system, and the education of these children are the responsibility of the parents. So if they're not willing to stand up for their kids, I really don't. If someone else is not willing to stand up for their own children, why would I? If someone's not willing to stand up for something that directly interests them, why would I stand up for stuff that doesn't interest me? I mean, this is my old podcast intro used to have that Rick Blaine quote, you know, I'm the only cause I'm interested in. This isn't a selfish thing. This isn't me. It's me acknowledging I don't have control over these things. And also the narrative of our general society and culture is that men like me, our opinions don't count anymore. We've got put in the corner metaphorically. So I'm like, okay, fair enough. When you guys need us, when you want us to come and fix your problems, let us know. Just know I charge by the hour. And every time you guys bash us, the rate goes up 10%. Yeah, these extremely online groups will want you to develop a worldview that's based on an ideology rather than life experience. And that you should let experience guide you rather than what some random person online that you have no obligation to. Because trust me when I say they don't have any obligation to you. And these groups will also attract people who are mentally ill. You got narcissistic personality disorder. You've got malignant narcissists. You've got, and then they are drawn towards men who are vulnerable. And of course, like a narcissist, they do not want you to ever actually figure out your problem. Because then they lose control. I mean, this is why you won't hear this stuff in a lot of places, because there's no easy solution. There's no get rich quick scheme. There's no press a button and it makes your problems go away. And for you young men who are willing to do this, just know you're going to be like Seth Malone in my book, Men Who Walk Alone. Like, you're going to be a guy who's going to end up having to do the right thing by yourself. And it's a lonely path to walk sometimes, and it's can be isolating, but that can be short term, because eventually there's what people tell you you want, and then there's what you actually want. And so what you need to be asking yourself is, what do you want to accomplish in life, and is what you're doing right now getting you there? And you don't think about what your buddies online say. You don't think about what anybody else says. Because they're ultimately going to tell you what they think you should, they're going to say what they think. But ultimately what they think about what you want doesn't matter. It's what you want. And you're not going to find those answers talking to people online. You know, where do you want to be in 10 years? What are some things that you actually want? And then you have to ask yourself, what is practical in terms of reaching those goals? And you don't turn to people necessarily. You got to figure this stuff out on your own. And that involves risks, and there's dangers to it. But it's better than spending your life arguing with people online. when you're on your deathbed, you're not going to sit there and say, God, I'm so glad I argued with that random feminist for 2 hours on Twitter that Friday night. So I think that that is an appropriate way to conclude this. This is the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. Your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room and my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.